Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, food followers around the world. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast with your host, Ben Johnson. Remember, if you want to support this show, we have a donations link available via PayPal. Simply head over to paypal.me/Kung Fu Movie Guide to donate. This podcast is very much a one-man operation, so any donations you make will be greatly received and will be put back into the upkeep of this show. A huge thank you to anyone who has donated to the podcast already. That is fantastic. Thank you so much. To get in touch with the show, you can email me on hello@kungfumovieguide.com. We also have our social media accounts on Instagram and Facebook under the name @kungfumovieguide. We are also on YouTube and X, formerly Twitter, @KFMovieGuide. Keep up to date with all the new episodes of this show as they drop by subscribing wherever it is that you get podcasts. And if you do that, please do leave us a star rating or write a review. That all helps to spread the good word of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. You can also read the latest martial arts movie reviews, access our archive, and find all our contact information via the website kungfumovieguide.com. Thank you for listening to this episode, and now on with the show.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Food followers around the world, welcome to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. This is episode 91. Thank you, one and all, for listening to this episode of the show. We have a director's double bill for our first show in quite a few months, actually. Thank you for your patience, Foo followers. I've got two great conversations to share with you with two directors who both have new martial arts movies out in 2023. First up, you're going to hear from the Dutch director Frau Kia Tan. Her movie, it's a very sweet little indie movie called Kung Fu Liu, or Kung Fu Lion to give it its English title. And after that, you will hear from the Malaysian filmmaker Ariel Abu Bakar. His new movie is called Walid. It's a film promoting Malay Silat, and it's his second Silat movie after 2019's Deed of Death. Both Walid and Kung Fu Lion were screened at this year's Fighting Spirit Film Festival, which took place in London in September this year, 2023. Both Ariel and Frau Kia were in London to promote their movies, and because I couldn't actually make it to Fighting Spirit this year, I did manage to chat to them both online before their screenings and did get a sneak peek at both of their movies. So reviews of both Walid and Kung Fu Lion will be up on our website, kungfumovieguide.com, and I'll be sure to add the links to those reviews in the description of this episode. Two very different films coming from very different countries, connected via a shared passion and love of the martial arts. So I will be throwing over to those conversations shortly. Before I do that, a little bit of business to update you on. I've been keeping busy recording some more conversations over the last month or so to share with you all, and I plan to release this next batch of new episodes every 2 weeks on a Monday over the next few months leading up to our inevitable end of year show 2023, featuring, of course, your friend and mine, the action film expert Mike Fury. Those conversations should take us right up to the Christmas period, so please do subscribe to the show if you're not already to make sure that you don't miss a brand new episode. The other news that I just wanted to update you on is my appearance on the Spy Hards podcast back in July of this year, in which I was talking all things Enter the Dragon for its 50th anniversary with the hosts Scott and Cam. It was a real privilege to be able to geek out about all things Bruce Lee and Enter the Dragon in this very special anniversary year, 2023. I don't need too much encouraging. Anyone who's hung out with me for a short period of time will be able to attest to that. Anyway, go and check it out. I will put a link to that show in the podcast description. So without any further ado, let's crack on with the show and my conversation with the writer-director Frau Kia Tan. Frau Kia is a filmmaker based in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. Her new film is called Kung Fu Lion. It had its UK premiere at this year's Fighting Spirit Film Festival. Kung Fu Lion isn't really an action film. It's more of a sweet coming-of-age drama about two teenage boys, played by Terrell Williams and Hei Li. They must learn to work together to perform the traditional Chinese lion dance. Their Sifu in the movie is played by Lau Ga-young, who is the nephew of the Kung Fu movie legend Lau Ga-leung. So the film has this lovely connection between the new school and the old school in terms of Kung Fu movies. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great, as you'll hear in this conversation. So it was a real treat to be able to talk to Frau Kia all about the film. A huge thank you to Sue Cole for arranging this. I will be back after this conversation to talk in a bit more detail about the wider release of Kung Fu Lion. But until then, here we go. Here is my conversation with the Dutch filmmaker, Frau Kia Tan. First of all, I think I've got to say this film did really speak to me.
Yeah,
I really liked this film. There were so many like flashbacks to when I used to do kung fu and my kung fu training, and you know, even the, you know, Jimmy's got his Bruce Lee posters on the wall and he's sparring with his sister. Like there was so much in there. I was like, gosh, this is incredibly accurate. First of all, should we set up the film and the story?
Well, it's about a boy, Jimmy, is about, I think, 14 years old, and he really, really wants to be the best kung fu fighter. He's not really that long with his sifu, his grandmaster. He's joining the lessons, but he's really want to be really very good. But at the same time, he has some sort of problem getting into in a fight on the street. And actually his parents got him into onto Kung Fu because they just got new in Rotterdam and they're starting their new restaurant. And he's into fighting sports. And they put him on a fighting sport actually because then he can put his energy somewhere, you know. He has a little bit too much energy and gets into fights a little bit too easy. So that's what their parents are thinking. And they're really very peaceful and, you know, very friendly. And he's from marriage. So
launching a vegan restaurant. Yes. What's it called? Peas.
Peas. Yes. We have all these fun stories about a restaurant called Peas. And you only you can eat peas over there. So he really distastes that very much. Hates it actually because he thinks, too peaceful here. So he gets into fights easily, and actually his sifu, his grandma, he sees that he does, and he asks him, "Well, do you know what is kung fu?" So, and then he thinks he's getting to be the best fighter, but actually he wants to be the best, like becoming a sifu. And then his sifu thinks, well, maybe you should learn about being a sifu or being the best fighter by getting behind someone.
Yeah, because his ego is a bit bruised when the new kid arrives, Li Jie, and he's this sort of wushu wunderkind, isn't he? Yes. He's like a martial arts expert. So it's then you start seeing Jimmy's this sort of intense jealousy, this rivalry starts sort of brewing between the two teenagers. But you know, could you explain a little about the Li Jie character, because he's sort of going through his own sort of journey as well, isn't he?
Yes, of course, because in the end, it's all about friendship, of course. And Li Jie has his own troubles, of course. And it's all about fathers and sons. So the two main characters, Jimmy and Lee J, they both have some sort of, well, like a teenager, a bad relationship with their father. And actually, their Sifu is like the perfect father to them. And what you see is they're growing apart actually from their fathers, but at the end, growing towards them as well. You know, you see their fathers love their sons, but they can't reach them because they're far away in a way.
I think it's a fascinating setup. And obviously they bond through, you know, the performing of the lion dance.
If you don't know much about Kung Fu, you can't see it. But actually what Li Jie is performing there is Nord style, which is like Wushu, very acrobatic.
A lot of jumps
and very...
Spins,
a lot of jumps. So if you're not used to watch, if you don't know much about Kung Fu, everybody would go for that because he's the hero. He can jump, you know, and actually what he has been taught at the Kung Fu school is actually South style, which is much more strong and really fighting, and you really can hurt somebody with it. But it's not that sexy to look at in a way. I think I do because I was brought up in the southern way, but it's a difference, and it's always a fight between those schools, those styles.
You trained in southern style?
Yeah.
So is that what drew you to this subject in particular then?
No, not really. It's actually, I saw my Sifu, my own grandmaster, and I know how he was always complaining about the North style Sifu in the Hague, you know, and saying, well, he's much more theatrical and this is much more real. So everybody is saying this about his own style, of course, but that's sort of what he was saying. That was my inspiration, one of my inspirations. But what I really saw was that children were practicing Kung Fu when they were starting like 7, 8 years old, and I'm living in Rotterdam, which is really very mixed, and a lot of cultures are over there, and a lot of problems as well. And what I noticed that all the children who went there and stayed there, they all kept going on with their schools, going up, you know, and really became very good adults. Good is not the good word, but they were successful in a way, and I think that had a lot to do with their bringing up by our Sifu in a way. So I think and he's not the only one, and I think there are more sports are doing it, but actually this a sport like this will teach you in another way something about life different than your parents do, and usually we're not so strict anymore. So, and that's something there you really learn. You learn how to learn, actually, and which is really, and you learn how to, if you really want to do something, if you really want to, you know, make a salto or whatever, you really have to work hard for it. And I think nowadays that's somehow a problem because we have so much we can do, and, you know, and then you get paralyzed because you don't know what to do anymore. And here you can do something. No, you can't do it at first, but then you can learn.
And was that important for you to get that message across of the true meaning of Kung Fu, and what it means is obviously to achieve greatness just through practicing? You know, you could have good Kung Fu if you're a really good chef, or, you know, or whatever sport, you know. So was that quite important to you then, to really put that message across in the film?
Yeah. Yeah, that really was important to me. Yeah, the thing was that that Lau Kar-yung wasn't actually, I'd written a lot for him in this dialogue. His English wasn't that good, so we really had to make it very dense, and he had some good things to say as well. So
Let's talk about Lau Kar-yung. So, gosh, as someone who's a bit of a kung fu movie geek. You know, Dragon Claws and Shaolin Disciples. I mean, this guy is the nephew of Lau Kar-leung, of course. His kung fu lineage goes all the way back to, you know, Wong Fei-hung. Yeah. So, you know, an absolute legend. So how did he get involved in the project?
Well, actually, we had a lot of... Well, I knew that I had to have a Sifu in January 22. And then right. like October 21, November 21.
Right.
And then we were almost started to shoot. And first we thought, do we need like a Dutch Sifu? But actually this is the first co-production with China. So that's interesting. So, and then, I got to know to a lion dancer, and a Sifu as well. Manlung is his name, and he was very easy because he organized all sort of workshops, and it was getting martial arts specialists into Amsterdam, and then teaching, and then he had his phone, and then he said, well, maybe, and we tried a few, but they couldn't come, and then he said, well, maybe Lauke Jung, I don't know him, but then he started calling, and then I don't know,
wow.
He was magic, and yeah, because I'm not so much a connoisseur as he is. I mean, so yeah, it was great actually, and it was good that I didn't know too much about it, what he already had done, because yeah, when he came to the set, it was a little bit like Jackie Chan is coming to the set. Like, oh yeah, well, maybe you should do like this and this and this, you know.
Now, I was going to ask, how much of was he sort of directing on set? His scenes feel very, because he teaches as well, so in real life. So it seems like you're almost getting quite an authentic kung fu lesson, you know, with watching the film. So was it a bit like that on set then?
No, because he was not used to really act, like not fighting.
Yeah.
So that was something he thought, well, why should we do this? Why don't you just drop me and just, you know? And then said, no. But actually what he did was giving me, there was a point in the rehearsals that he was doing like, oh, you should do that, and you can do it much more quick, and why do you need so many days? You can do it like just in one day. This is why, because he's used the Chinese way, and said, no, it's a children's movie, and you know, and we are not all professionals in this. But then at a point I said, well, sorry, but I can't do everything you say. I'm listening, and you know, it's great, and I really think you're really wise, but I can't do everything now. Mm. I can't change everything. And he said, no, I just give you everything I know, and I just do with it whatever you want to do with it. And then we were friends, and it was okay. I really knew I wanted him to teach them actually, but actually, he didn't want to do it in a way. Like, I really had to say, like, and now you're going to teach him. Doesn't just because I thought in that scene, you know, the one I mean, that they you have to explain to Jimmy why he has to go get into the back. So he's teaching them and then start doing the tiger, you know, and then becoming the lion. So that's a really very important scene, but I really didn't have it in my script yet. So that was in a way improvised on set.
Really
worked well.
Your kung fu expertise is just not good enough.
How many days did you have to shoot this then?
24, 25, and then
okay.
Then we had some and then I got some extra money, so we had 26.
Did you find that quite challenging?
For me it was quite challenging, yes, because we had like things with the lion dance with quite a lot of people. We had a school, we had a lot of kids, so it was with a lot of people on set, you know, and that and most people were not trained actors, so yeah, that was but I liked it very much, but it was a little bit challenging. Yeah
I was going to say, because you get wonderful performances out of, which say Tyrell Williams plays Jimmy and Hay Lee plays Lee Jay. This is the first movie. I know they trained in martial arts, and they're great in the martial arts sequences, but they've never acted before. So how did you get these performances out of them? Because it's not a action picture, is it? It is character-led. You know, it's a real journey for these characters. So, how did you manage to do that?
Well, actually, maybe it's good to tell a little bit about casting, because since Jimmy has to be more, it's a bit of an acting part as well. So, well, maybe I should find a real actor and then let him learn how to fight. But that didn't work out, actually, because it's really, really hard to be like a fighter, like having some sort of martial arts skills, not especially kung fu, but martial arts. And that didn't work out because I wasn't convinced. Then I thought, but then I saw a lot of kung fu boys coming by, but they were all a little bit too delicate in a way. So, well, because kung fu is a little bit delicate. So then I thought, well, maybe I should try the kickboxing, the karate, the taekwondo. So we advertised on fightingsports.nl or something. Yeah. And then I got Cyrell, and somehow I noticed that all the high performance, the boys and girls also who did a lot of fighting sports on high level, they're really good in learning how to act because they're trained how to listen. So that's because if I said, well, can you do a little bit this, like this or that, they would do it. They would all do it. So I thought, well, it's easier actually to train a skilled fighter to act than a skilled actor to fight. So
yeah, yeah. And it just adds that layer of authenticity when you watch the action sequences as well, is that when you see, you know, the amazing wushu that that Hayley does in this film, you mean, you know, you can't fake that. No amount of training that you know an actor can do is going to be able to do that sort of thing. So, and I guess that must have been really important for you as well, particularly in the lion dance sequences, to really make sure that was, as you know, as authentic as it could be.
Yeah.
Did you have special trainers just in the lion dance sequences? Yes. Then
yeah but actually that's a fun story to tell as well, because the storyline I got, like, many years ago, we did a yearly competition at our kung fu school, and sometimes we had guests. Now I know the Chinese lion dance, and I knew them, and they were usually with Chinese New Year, and then we went all together with the lions and playing for the restaurants. And but actually I wasn't really impressed by that, I'm sorry, because it was normal to me. But then at that competition I saw a lion, and he was dancing on the pots. But that wasn't that important. But the important thing was that I saw it was like an animal. The first time I saw, he's really like an animal. He's scared. He's ferocious, and he's really angry or hungry. And it's like a little dog or something. I really was attached to him. And then I really was mesmerized by that. And I saw them, and then when they put their lion head off, I saw those two guys and walking together like this. And then I thought, wow, that's really great. You have to perform like one in that lion. But how would it be if you're always in the back? that's kind of sucks. That was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And this is how this story grew into me. So, yeah. And it was so funny, because later on I realized, actually, when you're in the back of line, especially when you're jumping, you're so important.
The most important, aren't you? You're the grounded one that's supporting the person you're fighting with. Yeah.
Yeah. So in a way, it's quite superficial to look at that. And when I talk to a lot of lion guys and girls as well, and they usually they have their there's one mostly on the back. Sometimes they go in the front, but mostly in the back or the front, they have their own place. And they all are happy with their place in a way, because they think it's okay. Even Tyrell now, he says, well, let me go in the back. You go in the front. I don't want.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but traditionally it was the best pupils would perform the lion dance. You know, it's a very, you know, important, it's quite a pivotal role for, you know, any kung fu school.
Yeah.
And I can't think of many films that really focus in on the lion dance itself. Even in martial arts films. There's the Young Master sequence, that Jackie Chan film, I know at the start of that, which has a connection to Lau Ga Young, because he's in that sequence. Yeah. That's one of the best sort of lion dance sequences that I can think of. But there aren't many. It's a topic that's not really explored very much, is it?
Well, there are some lion dance films, a Malaysian film, I think, which is that old, but then it's all about winning the game. And there's another one, but there are not so many. And actually, it was, for me, the most important thing is about telling a little bit about the life, about the school life, about Kung Fu school life. And that was actually what Lau Ka Yung liked as well.
Wong Shen Hai, you can't fool me this time. I want revenge. I won't go until I've killed you.
You write really well for teenage boys, their development, what they're going through emotionally. And I know that you're a filmmaker that's always specialized in, you know, you've done documentaries with children, I believe. So I just wondered, you know, how can you write so well about teenage boys, you know, what they're going through?
Well, actually, it's a matter of thinking like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was brought up with three brothers. Maybe that works.
That could be it.
But for me, usually I can also, I'm really good in trading places in a way, because I always also like it to be like a 75-year-old man with Alzheimer's disease or something, because I really like to jump into a brain of somebody and think, how does he look? How would it be for him or her as well? But I like that, actually. And somehow a few days ago I was thinking, well, there's this women film festival, and then it's usually they say, oh, you're a female director, why don't you direct females? And then I think, what the heck, you know, all the painters were always painting women, why shouldn't I work with men? Because I like that, actually. I like that I like that energy, and I think I can tell a different story, because I can show a little bit different things about how they are feeling, or it's more on the emotion as well, I think.
Yeah. And just quickly, your journey as a filmmaker then, I noticed this, I think, is the first feature that you've done for quite some time, maybe a decade or so. Is that right?
Yeah, sometimes it's very hard to make a feature like this. Yeah. So I in between I make documentaries and shorter fiction films.
Is that something to do with the film industry over in the Netherlands, or is that just a general challenge just to get the projects that you want to do?
Maybe it's because I'm writing my own stuff. So and I'm not really a director who really wants to direct everything, only the things I really like to do. So I think that's it, actually. So I'm more like an artist who's making films, than that I only want to make any direct any film or write any film. So it's I don't know, actually. It was a long time, I must say. So it shouldn't be that long anymore.
not so long for the next one, hopefully.
No. Yes. So I'm really want to. I hope I can turn this into a series or something. So I'm quite busy with that.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Is that your plan with the a series? Is in a TV series or what's
something like that? Because I think it's really interesting to get Eastern philosophy and put it as a sort of solution into our hectic Western society. I think that really would be interesting in a way. Yeah. Because I think it's, well, now it's all yoga, of course, but I think especially Kung Fu, it's maybe it appeals a little bit more to young people.
And how has the film been received? I know it's been released locally, regionally as well. I know that it's sort of doing the film festival circuits now. Is that right?
It was in February. It was released during the holidays.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it was, it, in like 65 cinemas or something.
Yeah.
So, and the reviews were quite good, but somehow it's very niche, of course, the kung fu. So, and that's something for the marketing. It somehow falls in between, like because the boys are a little bit older, so it's not for, well, actually it's for 8-year-old kids, but it's the mothers are of course choosing the film, so it's I think it's always a little bit difficult how to put your marketing, but that's not my job actually, so I don't know that, but that was I personally thought maybe we should have do a little bit more the kung fu scene or the kung fu, you know, let it spread in to there or the Chinese community or, but that's I don't know actually, it's I never know how it works.
It's tricky, isn't it, because there's always going to be a market for martial arts films. It's one of these sort of evergreen products in a way, isn't it, because it you've got the established fan base, you know, you call a film Kung Fu Lion, there's going to be people who are going to going to want to watch that.
Yeah, and I think it isn't especially only for kids, you know. So that's what I say about the marketing. It's not only for 8-year-old kids. Actually, it's for if you have been practicing kung fu or, you know. So it's
Yeah, I think there's a lot that a lot of audiences can get from this movie.
Yes, I hope it can.
I think it plays to all ages. Yeah.
So yeah. I hope it can. I don't know if it can be released in the UK or on some sort of streamer. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it will be, of course, on the Fighting Spirit Festival.
Of course. Just quickly on the China film production. It was a co-production, I believe. Is that right? Yeah. What was it like working with them?
It's a little bit complicated, I think.
Yeah.
We had some cultural, but it's it worked out very well. We actually, what we did was in our cooperation that there were some actors from China. We had the music made by Rock Chen, who also did Kung Fu Panda 3, I believe. But
yeah.
Real good.
It's good music. It's really nice music.
And we had the animation also made in China as well. So this is how we divided it. And what I really like about it is that you can find everywhere, you can find the same people who love Kung Fu or who love the music or who love making films, you know. It's somehow, sometimes in between with the producing part, the contracts, which makes things a little bit complicated, but the working together with everybody was great. So that's
good.
I want to emphasize.
Yeah. And will they help with the release of the movie in China? Has it been released in China?
It will be. So but then it has to be dubbed first, and I don't know if it really would work commercially that well. I don't know, but it would work well, and that's I think their main plan. Also, it's that it's going into schools or something, I want a lot of children to watch it, of course. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to end on just, you know, what's next for you? What's your next project? Are you still going to stay in the martial arts realm or
no,
or
I have many different projects.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The newest project is actually, which is kind of fun to tell. It's based on the island where I was born in Indonesia. I'm half Chinese, half Dutch, by the way.
That's right. That's the tan.
And very Dutch. Yeah. So, but I was born in Indonesia, actually. And actually, I want to make a film over there. But it's just a very first stage. But I just applied for funding. It's about getting there at the island where I was born. There are a lot of it's a Catholic island actually. But there are a lot of stories, myths and fairy tales. And because the Flores, the island, because there are so many different languages over there, many different cultures. There are a lot of animistic, animistic religion.
Yeah.
And actually, I want to film or make a story out of one of their fairy tales, like how we are, how we put our Western influence always on the colonial countries. I want to do things back. So I want to tell a story from there and be very wise and influential over here. That's actually what I did with Kung Fu Lion as well, putting Eastern philosophy back in our world. And I like to do that. So
yeah. Well, I loved it. It's a wonderful film. So congratulations. Great work. And it's been a real treat to chat with you.
Thank you.
Now listen, from now on you're all dismissed. Shaolin is closed. All of you will leave immediately.
Frau Kia Tan there, thank you so much, Frau Kia, for taking the time to talk to me. I really enjoyed her film Kung Fu Lion. You can head over to kungfumovieguide.com now to read my review of the movie. The film was released domestically in the Netherlands earlier this year, and it's still doing the film festival circuit across Europe with screenings in Belgium, Germany and Wales planned. It has also been picked up by the International Kids Film Festival, which runs from the 14th to the 30th of November this year, 2023. This means that the film will be screened to around 800 schools across India, the Middle East, South Asia and Southeast Asia. Head over to ikff.in for more details about that festival. No news just yet on a wider release in either the UK or China. It will be getting a Chinese release though, but Frau Kia tells me that they're just currently waiting for the film to be dubbed. So more news to follow on that. In other Frau Kia Tan news, she tells me that she is currently writing a proposal series in which she wants to link Eastern philosophy and Kung Fu to the hectic lives of young people as a means of maintaining peace of mind. That does sound like another very interesting project there. So we will be sure to keep you all updated on her work. You can follow Frau Kia on Instagram and LinkedIn under her name on both of those platforms, which is at Frau Kia Tan. That is spelled FROUKJETAN. I'll also be sure to put a link to the Dutch short film Steam, which is made by the Kung Fu Lion fight choreographers Pau Han Kyo and Shu Ming Tong. Just with regards to that Malaysian lion dance movie that Frau Kia mentioned, you may have been screaming the title out when we couldn't think of it. The film is called The Great Lion, or to give it its full title, it's The Great Lion Run Seng Keng. That is a movie from 2014. I've not actually seen it myself, but it does have Chen Quan Tai in it, so might need to go back and check that one out. That did get me thinking about good kung fu movies that focus particularly on lion dancing. And another movie that I completely forgot to mention, of course, was Once Upon a Time in China 3 with Jet Li. And actually, there's also Last Hero in China, which has that mad centipede dance ending with the late Alan Chu. That's the one where Jet Li then flies in and saves the day while impersonating a chicken. Very odd film. There may be other lion dance movies out there that we haven't mentioned. Do get in touch. If we did miss one, you can email me on hello@kungfumovieguide.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mm. Moving on now to my second guest on today's show. It's the Malaysian director Ariel Abu Bakar, the director of the great 2019 movie Deed of Death. His new film is called Walid. It's another bone-breaking action film which promotes the martial art of Malay Silat. The film also touches on some very important and serious issues such as human trafficking, which we discuss in this conversation. Walid's premiere was in New York in July of this year. It then moved to Los Angeles in August ahead of its screening in London at the Fighting Spirit Film Festival, and then its domestic release in Malaysia in September of this year, 2023. The film has also been screened at the Tashkent International Film Festival in Uzbekistan, and I've also just been informed that Walid will be going to another film festival ahead of its online release in December. This was great to chat to Ariel. He had literally just landed in London after a flight from Malaysia, and considering that he must have been exhausted, you would never have guessed it from this conversation. A huge thank you to Iman Teo for all of her help in setting up this conversation. Okay, here we go then. Here is my conversation with the Malaysian director, writer, cinematographer, martial arts director and martial artist Ariel Abu Bakar. I wanted to just start, I guess, by asking you about the premise, the story for Walid. Could you explain a little bit about what the film is about?
This film about humanity for kids, human trafficking, about exploitation kids for around the world. Still, this issue is not finished. That then I put it is issue for world issue, and then this issue is not for our country, but this is a world issue. So yeah. I choose human trafficking, exploitation, kids, the base for important things for people take more action for kids.
Yeah. What was it about that particular subject, human trafficking, that made you want to make this movie? Why this subject?
I go around the world. I travel to in Malaysia. I have a part of Borneo, so I see the kids come to our place. Come when you eat it. She or he came to begging, and then he have another parties to exploit them to make money and hidden hand. Then the issue until now cannot be done. I don't know why. And then the Philippines come to Borneo, and the Bajau Laut, you know the ethnic Bajau Laut, and see live in the sea, no country, no place to what tinggal where?
To live.
To live.
Yeah.
And then they came to our border and make the agency come to make them part of make money. So I don't think it's a good activities. So we highlight in movie because for maybe our government or special force of special agency come to to settle all the problem.
The film also touches on some other subjects as well. I guess the really powerful message is also education.
You
know, the need for, you know, kids, no matter what background they're from, you know, if they're, I know your film deals with illegal immigrants as well, but your central character, Walid, is a teacher. And, you know, he sees the value in education, no matter, you know, whoever it is, wherever they're from, he doesn't see any prejudice. Was that quite an important story that you wanted to tell as well around, you know, it's a universal need, isn't it, to be educated?
Yep. I choose this issue because education is not about about you have about religious race or anyone's education is for all the people, not to be politicking, for no politicize the issue. So education is very important for people, kids or anyone.
See, I just want to kill you like dogs.
The star of your film, Migat Sharidzal, I'm probably going to get the pronunciation of names wrong, so I do apologize, Ariel. It's a real film of two halves, isn't it? Because the first half of the film, you see him as a teacher and he's quite passive and you're not too sure really, you know, which direction the film is sort of going in. And then when the girl that he is educating and looking after, when she is then kidnapped, he does a 180, and then suddenly the second half of the film, you know, he comes out, you know, fighting and you know, taking on all the bad guys. Just talk, because Megat was in Deed of Death as well, but he only had a small part in that. You saw a bit of him fighting, but you didn't really see his full sort of fighting range. I just wondered, the casting of Megat, why him for the central role?
I choose him because the Megat have a basic martial art. He also play for state in Malaysia. Then he also a actor, and the size is unique for hero.
He's a big guy.
For this movie. Yeah.
He's a bit like Sammo Hung.
Yeah. Ma Dong Zok. What?
Yeah.
Don Lee.
But I guess that helps, because when he then starts, you know, in the second half of the film and the action really takes off, you don't expect him to be able to have the skills that he does have. You know, it's quite a shock.
Everyone shocked after Act Two. Yeah. Everyone shocked after Gala Night. So everyone shocked.
Yeah. Was that quite a deliberate move then, Ariel, to, you know, have the first half of the film is very much a character-driven piece and you're really developing, you know, the relationship that the young girl has there with her mother? You're touching on quite a few sort of big themes there on the first half. And then to have the second half, which is so action-packed. That was quite a deliberate thing then, was it? How you wanted the film to, the pacing of it?
I want to everyone concentrate about the first the issue, education, immigrant, and humanity. The message for this movie, I want to tell everyone humanity is very important. Education is very important. It's not the fighting. Fighting is the accessories for this movie. And I love action movie. So I put Sila in my movie. But the issue is more important for other things. Some people not do good because they don't have education. So it's very dangerous for community. And then I hope this movie can be a spark for people, especially in Malaysia, because Malaysia is a small country, but the immigrant and the Rohingya came to our country, Philippines and Indonesian, but education is important for other people. So we came to Malaysia, we must serve education, nothing without any compromise.
There's an important scene where she is at a food stall and Walid is, you know, paying for something for her to eat. And then there's the older generation who sort of look at her as if to say, you know, you're not welcome here. You know, they're quite, you know, dismissive of her. And I wondered, yep, is that quite a prevalent thing in Malaysia? Is that an attitude that you see quite a lot, maybe from the older generation there towards immigrants?
Yeah, but it's not many. But this scene, I put it for everyone can think. This is not a right way to condemn other people. Why I choose the old man say like that is I want to tell people, you must use your brain. The kids is not know what you say.
It's not
like
their
that.
Fault.
That's their fault. Then this is a common sense. The kids not come to kill you, to disturbing you.
I want to ask you quickly about, I'll probably get this name wrong as well, but Faina Tajuddin.
Faina Tajuddin.
Now, she was so good in Deed of Death. I know she has a small role in this film. When you see her in Deed of Death and then she's fighting wearing the hijab.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that before in a film, in an action film. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really wonderful. And she is in this film, but she doesn't appear. I was waiting for her to like appear at the end, you know, when it's all sort of kicking off. But was there a reason for that, or was she, maybe she was just unavailable to be in the film for longer?
Mm-hmm. Fina also have a basic silat, and then this role I choose her because the look and feel, and she can talk like Thailand border, the slang accent, the language is like border Malaysia and Thailand.
Right.
So I choose her to carry that character.
Yeah.
Then she also have a good job in our government. So I have a few days for shoot her.
I thought that might be the case. Like maybe you only had a few days of her time.
I think I shoot for action scene for Fina like 2 days. I think. One day for drama scene.
Yeah. Will you continue to work with her? I think she's great.
Yeah, inshallah, I will for my third movie. Maybe she's my in my list. And Walid two maybe Fina. We start from Fina as a woman from Cambodia come to Malaysia to rescue Aisha, came back to Cambodia or Thailand.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That sounds great.
That's the idea.
So you're the one.
I wondered if you could talk a little bit about Silat. You practice as well then, do you? Do you train in Silat?
When I was kids, I practiced 10 years old until my 17 years old. And after that, I continued my study in Kuala Lumpur, so I stopped it. But I still practice in your room like that. Yeah,
because you're the action director as well, aren't you? So you're directing the martial arts scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've got a real rich background in the film industry. You've been working as a cinematographer. You've done so much in the industry. And it's interesting, your first film as a director was such a Silat-heavy movie. So you're very passionate about, I guess, the philosophy behind the martial art and telling people about this.
Yeah, I want to introduce and expose our Silat, Malaysian Silat, for around the world, because we know from Nusantara, but the Indonesian is promote Silat more from Malaysia. So I want to introduce my Silat from Malaysia to the world. So I use Silat in my action film, because I love action movie, but I don't know why Malaysian people not interested to produce Silat for in their movie. In Malaysia, we use another martial art, not Silat. So I want to tell the world, because Silat is from Malaysia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because a lot of people, I would imagine, probably were introduced to Silat through the Raid films, potentially, mm-hmm. in recent years, mm-hmm. which are obviously Indonesian films. But that's Pencak Silat. So I guess that's a different form of Silat.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
It's not, it's not a big difference, but Pencak Silat is from Indonesia, is more on movement, lock movement, and the heart movement. In Malaysia, is like dancing, like the arts for the movement. In before we start the Silat, we have we call dancing tarian. Tarian is like they are dancing, but the dancing is have a movement, and we can kill the soft movement, we can kill the enemy. So yeah. In Pencak Silat is we can see the movement and move, and to we can see directly the style and how we attack the enemy. Seni Silat, we more soft, but it's a kill also. I think it's not a big issue and big different. Just a philosophy of movement for Silat.
All the people that you're using in your films, they're all Silat martial artists, and you train with a lot of the same people?
Yeah, I personally study Silat for the same people, and my full team is from north of Malaysia. Kedah is a center of Silat Gayung. So everyone in the movie is from there, and they're from kids and until older cast is martial art practice Silat.
It looks like in some of the fight scenes there's an element sort of Thai kickboxing involved as well, but I don't know the style, so I'm not sure if I'm correct there. But is there a Thai influence in there as
well? The character in Yak Pat, the player, the tattoo one, is played like Silat Tom, Silat Tomoy. It's not Silat Gayung, but it's Silat Tom. So he came to me and say they want to carry the character like Siam people. So they want to use Muay Thai, but he used a Silat, but the name is Silat Tom. Silat Tomoy. The short one, the Silat Tom.
There's a lot of crossover with religion as well. And to tell that story as well in your films, the importance of religion. Silat is linked to the spirituality as well, isn't it? Can you speak to that a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah. So religion comes first before you study Silat. It's not you study Silat, you are so religious. You must study religion, and then you have a good heart, and after that, you can study Silat. If you study Silat first and religion is other side, it's a very, very dangerous, because they came to study Silat to pick all the people and make the wrong way to use Silat. It's a very, very dangerous. And then they must study Islam. After that, the master gave a movement for relaxing before he get the full syllabus Silat.
So, you know, studying Silat is very much, it's not just a physical journey that you're on, it's also a spiritual one.
Yeah, the strong one is a spiritual one, spiritual first. After you study spiritual, then you find a way to combine the religion and martial arts. You can manipulate martial arts to the wrong way. It's a very, very dangerous for people came to study martial art. The master or grandmaster must advise the student go to find the spiritual first, another spiritual by Islam or Buddha or anything, but you have a good heart, then you came to study martial arts.
I know who you are, you bastard. Your time has come, then your son.
Do you think you will continue to make martial arts films, Silat films? Is this the path that you're on?
Yes, but of course, because my genre is action movie. I want to use every scene in my movie, the next movie, and next movie with with Silat. And then I plan for next movie, we can mix Silat, and inside we have a judo or Muay Thai or karate or kung fu, Shaolin inside in my third movie coming soon.
I've got to ask, how are the Malaysian audiences with action films? I mean, there's a lot of action films get made in Malaysia, don't they? So
they all love action movie.
Yeah.
And Malaysian market, action movie and horror movie is very, very crazy.
Big.
Big. Yeah, the fan is very, very crazy. Now I get the rate 16. So under above 16 can come to cinema to watch Walid. Under 16 cannot go to the cinema. It's a very, so for producer is very lost a few.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
But because they want to cut off my action sequel, so I don't think I can make it, because this is a very, very difficult to shoot, and that's I want to sell the market for action. But
yeah,
then when they came to cut off, is not I not agree about that.
Yeah, because, you know, Megat's throwing those axes around, and there's lots of, it's quite full on, isn't it? Arm breaks, all the arm breaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would, if you cut all that out, you wouldn't have much of a film left. Yeah, but I guess that's the thing with producers, isn't it? They just want it to be as accessible as possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that would be a challenge. So the next project then, Walid 2, is that on the cards?
No, the next one I Abang. Abang, okay. Means a brother.
Can you say much about that film?
Is also in a gangster movie. So I choose the premise is slum area. Yeah. I love that, the dirty side, the dark side in my movie. So I stay recce around Ipoh, Perak, Kuala Lumpur, and Tawau in Borneo, Kota Kinabalu in Borneo. So that area is so many slum area, like Water Village, and then so you can see many things about the bad activities in that area. So it's smuggling and you are drugs and many things is the area in Kuala Lumpur, Borneo and Ipoh.
When do you start filming?
Maybe in end of this year, December, after Wale is finished.
Yeah.
Round, I don't know when he's the film is the end. I'm still this end of this man, we go to Uzbek for festival Tashkent Film Festival. So maybe after that, I don't know.
Yeah, awesome.
The timeline is December. This December, I will start shoot Abang.
Well, I look forward to seeing that, and a real thank you. You know, keep flying the flag for Silat and Malaysian action cinema.
Thank you.
You know, keep up the great work.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. I'm so sorry because my English is so limited, but
no,
I tried
not at all.
My best. Maybe you can.
My Malay is not very good either, so it's great. It's great. Thank you so much. Take
care.
Thank
you. Bye.
Bye bye. Ariel Abu Bakar there. What a treat that was to chat to Ariel. A huge thank you to Ariel Abu Bakar for talking to me, especially after such a long haul flight. It's never the best of conditions to chat to a podcaster, I would imagine, so thank you very much for obliging me. Ariel's new movie is called Walid. It's not particularly easy to see it at the moment, however I will be sure to keep you all posted on where you can catch the movie outside of Malaysia ahead of its wider digital release in December. Of course, the easiest way to find out all the latest information regarding the movie is on social media. You can follow at @FilmWalid on both Instagram and Facebook. That's at @FilmWalid. There is also a YouTube channel for the film's production company, which is Layar Pictures, Layar. I will be sure to put a link to that channel in the description of this episode. If you want to get a taster of what to expect from Walid, then definitely check out Deed of Death. I did really enjoy that movie. It was picked up by Wowgo USA in North America, and it is available across many digital platforms as well here in the UK. Okay then, that's just about it for this special action-packed director's double bill episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guy podcast. If you do like the show, remember to share the podcast with a friend, leave us a star rating, write a review, whatever you can do to help spread the word of the podcast. I will be back in 2 weeks' time with another brand new episode of the show. But until then, do take care, be safe, be well, and I will speak to you all again very soon on the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.